As I hear you, I don't hear you as a lone voice. I hear you as a voice not only of Julie, but of a collective mind that you share many people's sentiments about what it was that you wanted to clarify or bring to her attention. And so I just wanted to clarify that you're not just one individual with some thing that you wanted to bring. You were bringing a collective mind of the satsang, if you will.
Yes. So both things are true. A few years ago, we both acknowledged that our timelines sometimes aren't completely clear. You're much better than me. But when I first began to reach out to her in the written letters and such, that was more motivated by the fact that I had been remote and I hadn't been completely immersed in the context of a formal gathering for quite a while. However, I had snippets of understanding about what had occurred. And then when I wrote the letters that you're referring to, I had myself intentionally started to reintegrate with a large number of devotees, intimate or friends, even people who are devotees but themselves are not formally involved. Some have been formally involved. Some were in significant roles of responsibility. Because these are all guru-bhais that I had had contact with over all the years, and it didn't make any difference to me what their status was in the context of formal structure. And that's the way also that we related to Beloved and one another during his lifetime, was that there was the devotional intimacy was the core of it, and the functions and the structures were secondary. So I wasn't being inhibited by an assumption that you couldn't connect, So that's where I began to hear what other people's devotees were reflecting to me about what had happened since I had not been participating. That was somewhere probably around 2012, where I really ended up retreating a lot more. So yes, what you're saying is correct. And I was beginning to then reflect to them that why are things like this? What does this mean? It doesn't sound right to me exactly or feel right. And I'm not the only one beginning to notice this, that there's a lot of devotees who have been trying to communicate this to the leadership to no avail.
Right.
Unable to get a response that is satisfactory.
Right. So
the feeling.
In my observation, because I was peripherally with you through this time, I noticed that when the personal gestures that you were making were not getting any result, and you were then given to another individual to see if that person could work with you in a manner that was going to be fruitful, it seemed to me it lost its sacred nature, and it just got into kind of business or functionalities and who are you to speak, and it got a little personal at times, and it really kind of degenerated into a not a fruitful dialogue.
No, it wasn't fruitful, and that was really disheartening. The devotees that I spoke to were what's described as the LRO. They're meant to be an extension of the RSO, the Ritira Sannyasa Order, which, by the way, they're the Ritira Sannyasa Order office. They actually aren't actual spiritual renunciates, fully blessed and authenticated by Beloved Bhagavan prior to his Mahasamadhi. He actually indicated that they were not. So I'm having a conversation where I'm understanding this by virtue of my guru's instruction and blessing, and theirs too. And yet I'm noticing that I'm having a different conversation with them, like there's a structure that's been manifested that they're trying to explain and defend. And that's what the conversation began to be, rather than anything auspicious and profound.
Right.
And these are devotees, again, that I've had incredible history with, served with. They have even been part of the cultural process that whereby they held the those who were intimate with beloved Bhagavan. They were responsible for holding us accountable in our practice and process, and or serving functional aspects of it. So they know me, and I know them to the degree that we did in that context and during the years that we were together. A lot has eventuated since then, so a lot of it was also a conversation that's coming up at the present time, which is what I was doing with the gathering altogether and with the people I was connecting with, is getting my head around it. And that inevitably included a vast number of people with differing perspectives on why and how it had come be operating in the manner that it is presently. So the conversations were more that we've set this up in a particular way now, according to his precise instructions and notes that he gave, that we have to do it this way, and there's just no negotiation. There's no, you can't talk that way, you can't ask those questions, you can't challenge, and you won't be able to speak to them about this. That's the end of the story.
Well, when you say the word challenge, because I never got the feeling that you were actually wanting to challenge anything, I thought you were really asking for clarification. So what I saw was that the conversation, although it did become more of a formal hierarchical, that we have the final say, we have the final word, we have the final notes. But it seemed to me that it degenerated into a personal attack, where the questions or the clarifications that you were asking for, then it just turned into more, who are you? Who are you to ask these questions? And so it seemed to turn more personal, which lost its integrity.
No, it did. And it's been being conducted in that fashion, not just with myself, but with the gathering altogether. I personally was reaching out because I was wanting to reintegrate, to reconnect with the food culture. And though at a certain point, by virtue of the interconnectedness that I had established with many people that I had a history with, there was a moment when I made an error in sending something out unexpectedly, by accident, literally. And it triggered then an explosive response from almost everybody that became aware of it, either this is something that we do need to address, and others are just like, no, shove it under the rug. We don't want to have anything to do with talking about that. We don't bring it out in the open.
I would like to address just the fact of that happening, because there's a lot of confusion about that moment where you, and I know your, let's say, technological skills are sometimes challenged, that some people feel that the communication that you receive personally with another devotee, I just want to make sure that people understand that there was no intention, at least my understanding in my communication with you, there was no intention of you actually doing that. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, you immediately called or texted me and said, is there a way that once you found out what you actually did by sending it out as an attachment to a large number of recipients, you wanted to say, is there was a way that you could retract what you did? So there, I just
I was horrified. I was actually being particularly careful that day because I was aware I had done something similar the day before, so I was trying to be very careful, about not making that mistake. And lo and behold, the mistake was made again. And no, it was not something I had intended in any way whatsoever.
Right.
However,
right.
That being said, is that what became was brought to my attention is that the letter that had gone out had actually already been received by the leadership and the entire gathering a few other times prior,
right.
But in a different way, a different language by a different person, and with a little bit more detail. So the upset wasn't really so much about the fact that I had made the mistake, at least from my perception, but that, oh no, not again, the questions are coming up again. We aren't able to control this.
Right. Well, it seems like there was just a moment of timing that brought this into where you said this had been out there before, and it really didn't make an impact. This time, it made a huge impact in the community, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, it has, and it continues to this day. There have been all sorts of different voices independent of my own that have begun to contribute to try to have a real conversation, an honest conversation, an open conversation with the leadership. And
right.
And it still to this day has not happened in any kind of an effective way. It's just really been, like you indicated earlier on, it's had the same quality that the conversations, how the twist happened in the conversation that I initially tried to have, which was meant to be an ecstatic, profound, auspicious conversation that could potentially be of service. That was the original intention, and to, you know, acknowledge something profound.
Right.
But that's not what the conversation is. It's just it's going through these loops of egoic patterning and conjunctions that are not creating something very auspicious at the present time. Although some people say that they do feel that it is, just the fact that it's remaining alive to them.
Right.
They feel that this is a moment of something possibly being able to change because it's been so stopped.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to bring out the nature of that conversation, the nature of these kinds of conversations, that when something like as volatile or explosive as that comes to the community of hundreds and hundreds of people who are entering into a conversation, of course, you're going to get the extremes of what that communication means. So I just want to make sure that people understand that you're not about you personally and your efforts to get transparency and some conversation going. You're not about, when you say challenge, you're not about turning anything on its head or changing anything specifically other than having a conversation where other people would like to upset the apple cart, so to speak. They would like to reorient the whole structure of things. So maybe you could speak to that.